Hey, Ken.
Hey, think it done.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Good.
How's the new year treating you?
I'm sorry?
How's the new year treating you?
Oh, just, you know, the usual quarantining, getting tested constantly.
Yeah. Happy New Year. So, more of the same.
The guy at my job decided it would be okay to come to work without, even though he'd been sick for a week and ended up testing positive.
You did?
No, somebody that I work with. So I've had to get tested twice this week and all kind of stuff.
Jeez. Hi, Rochelle.
Good, good.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. The new year treating you well?
Yeah. Not dead yet. All's good.
Not dead yet. Okay. Well, that's a pretty low bar. I'm glad we can all pass that.
It happens sometimes. I'm sorry.
Kenny, is Chris also going to be part tonight?
Yeah, she's in the next room.
Okay. Hey, Phil, how are you?
You done?
Mary also helping?
Yes.
Okay.
Like Chris, she is in the other room.
The proverbial other room?
Yes, sir. The only two we have.
So, no, we don't have everybody here, but you got a chance to take a look at our two issues. I guess the biggest question is, for those who feel honest taking this on maybe as a head or would more prefer to be teamed up with someone as an assistant, how do each of all three of you feel?
I'm okay with it. Mary's a little nervous. We could team up with somebody if you like.
No, I'm just trying to... it's not what I like. I'm just trying to get a gauge for where people are at and not wanting people to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Michelle, how about you?
I'm trying to decide. I like the word nervous. I don't think I would mind being teamed up if we have the team.
Okay. Ken, how about you?
I'm not opposed to being teamed up either. I think like anything, it's kind of a, I don't know if I'm the most confident about my knowledge of this issue, of these issues.
Yeah. Well, think about how we've done this in the past. We would set the table with the whole group and then go into groups. The difference is we don't have the luxury of being in the same group. So if something comes up and we wanted some immediate support, it's not like I or whoever is facilitating could wander around to your group.
Are you going to be in a group? Of,
what's that?
Are you going to be in a group?
Well, that's part of the next thing I was going to say. If we have enough people who feel comfortable to do groups, I can be available to go in and out of groups, and you can text me if something comes up and you want me to jump into your group. That's an option.
I think I like that.
I agree with Kenny.
Okay. Well, then our groups shouldn't be set like normal based on numbers. It should be on the confidence of groups. So right now, if I'm looking at, I know you just came in, Trish and Mike, just looking at the comfortability of the team in facilitating these group conversations, which are, you know, they always are, they're contentious subjects, and nobody wants to lead anyone astray or something that isn't with church teaching. You never know what's going to come up in the conversation too. So one of the things that we are talking about is presetting our groups based on pairing people up comfortably. And then instead of me leading a group, me kind of jumping in and out of groups, and you all have me on text speed dial. So if something comes up in your group and you'd like me to jump in, you just signal me and I do that.
Hello.
Hi, Eric. How are you? Good. What do you think, Trish and Mike?
Yeah. Can you hear us okay?
Yes. Could you hear what I was just saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do the two of you feel comfortable if you were heading a group by yourselves, or would you want to pair with someone?
No, we're pretty comfortable. We've been studying. What is it? We have a whole bunch of stuff that we did. Well, we better get boned up here.
Good. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there on what the church teaches. So
there is. Well, like usual, we're going to define the term itself, which is pretty simple. And then basically discuss as a whole group, just a general sense of what the church teaches. And then we want to go into groups, and the conversation will be, what do you think? What's your experience? And really what we want to do in the small groups is help them get in touch with why the church teaches, why the church teaches. Okay. And the reality is a lot of people think they know what the church teaches based on what they think. They don't agree, or they understand partially what the church teaches, but not completely. And based on that, they don't agree. And the idea is to have an informed conscience. You understand completely what the church teaches and why before you make moral choices. Okay. Welcome, Derek. So my thought is maybe to have less groups, and they might be a little bit larger, but we can bunch the team up together a little bit more. How do people feel about that?
I think you're going to get more interaction with people because it's such a touchy subject.
More interaction if we have a slightly larger groups?
I think so.
So like if we have 8 to 10 in a group? Mm-hmm. How large was your group last night, Trish and Mike, if you counted multiple people on devices?
I think we had probably 8.
Yeah, about 8.
I'm going to see if we're going to have anyone else on the team here.
Yeah, there were about 8.
Okay.
And the baptism class, we had a lot more.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's 10 of us, but that's counting each as individuals and not couples as a couple. I don't think Patty's coming tonight because of a work issue. I don't know about Nemesio. I don't know about Kim. So we might just be looking at, 3 groups?
Well, we'd love to have anybody else join us.
Okay. I'll join you guys.
Well, yeah, we're gonna pair everybody up here.
How's it going, Derek?
Seems like pretty good. How are you?
Doing good.
Christian Church is
1930.
Yeah.
Kim.
Yeah. Good evening, beautifuls.
Hey, welcome.
Good evening.
We won't pay the ransom. Obviously, you've escaped.
I said, we won't pay the ransom. You've obviously escaped.
No, I'm still here, so pay it.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I think we're just going to go with 3 groups based on our conversation. And just so everybody understands, just the nature, sometimes the feeling that they're volatile subjects, I'm going to float in and out of groups. I'll be available that if something comes up and one of the groups wants me to jump in, you just text me. Somebody text me and I'll jump into the group. Otherwise, I'll just flow in and out of groups and try to balance, you know, time in each of the groups. How's that sound?
Good. Sounds like swim.
We're going to pair Trish and Mike. How about I pair Rochelle with you? Phil and Mary, I'll pair Eric with you. And Kenny and Chris, I'll put Derek and Kim with you. And I think that's probably all we're getting for the team tonight based on, well, we might get Nemesio. And if that's the case, I'll put him in either Trish and Mike and Rochelle's group or Phil, Mary and Eric's group. So there'll be plenty of people on the team there, so you can work off each other. No one feels totally stressed, and then I'll just zoom in and out. Huh? Anybody else have questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we begin, does anybody want to serve as facilitator next week? After I kind of model this, it doesn't have to be me. You don't have to answer right now, but when we're all done, if you want to kind of be the general person that'll facilitate, and even be the person that moves in and out if you want. Just kind of think about that, okay? Otherwise, we're going to be in a stretch where they're going to hear my being the facilitating for a number of weeks in a row. And I think it works so well to have a variety of voices. So just think about it, everybody. All right. Does anybody want to lead prayer tonight? I know I didn't. I'm springing this on you, but I can lead if no one's comfortable. But again, they don't need to hear my voice for the entire night as the one leading.
Hearing no volunteers.
What's that?
I said hearing no volunteers.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I think I'll just use the gospel.
Deacon Phil volunteers.
Well, Mary.
Bill and Mary, you're muted. If you're volunteering, we can't hear you.
I think Phil wanted to read the gospel.
Okay, which gospel are you reading, Phil?
I don't think today. I'm not sure about today. Which one did you have in
mind? I was going to read the one from Monday.
That's the one I was thinking.
Repent and believe in the gospel.
Yeah.
And it continues the whole idea of Epiphany and
manifesting
God's self.
Yeah. And I have it here on my phone.
And then the idea is not just to experience the epiphany, but to respond to it. So maybe a little prayer after that in that regard.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open the floodgates. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, by the way, we potentially have three new people tonight. That brings us over 40, by the way. That's a record if everybody ends up following through. All right. Here we go. 21 people coming in all at once.
Whoa, look at that. Boom.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We still have people zooming in here. We'll give a 1 or 2 minute grace period here, and we'll begin.
You ready?
Do just a second here.
Okay.
I'm looking over our new name, see who's in already. Okay, welcome everybody. I still expect a number of people to zoom in here. But at the very beginning, we have, as you can tell right now, two new people this evening. So welcome to Mark Beck. Mark, I don't see your fiancée, Jessica, yet. Hopefully she's going to be zooming in too. I know you're in different locations. And Reina Iniguez also being new tonight. So welcome, and we'll get a chance to welcome you better when we get into some small groups and you get a chance to meet individuals instead of the whole group here at one time. All right, Deacon Phil, if you would, please. Help us begin by leading us in prayer.
Good evening, everybody. Before we start, we're coming out of the Christmas season, and we've had three very important events in the last month. We've had the Annunciation, we've had the birth of Jesus, we've had the Epiphany, and Sunday was actually the fourth, the baptism of the Lord. And these all tie together, and they're all Epiphany moments. And tonight we're called together as church to listen to what the church wants to teach us. And in that frame of mind, I would like to start tonight's experience with yesterday's gospel from Mark. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Those who are new, you'll get used to the fact that we normally do begin with the Word of God, because we want to be sure that what is our focus is actually coming from the mind and the heart of God, and not any other source. Also, if you're new, we have a pretty large group here, and the group, as you can see, we're getting up to almost 40. We'll probably be over 40 by the time everybody zooms in here. So a little bit of protocol to make this work smoothly for Zoom. We'll normally have everyone muted when we're in the whole group, except for the person who is leading. When we go into small groups, oftentimes it works for us to be unmuted as long as we just take turns. The muted while we're in a large group helps with potential background noise and on people's devices as well. If you would take a look at the name on your screen, and if you would be so kind as to make sure that it is a first and a last name, we want people to get to know us well, and so beyond just a first name. If there's more than one person on the screen, include both names, please. That'll help when we're in large group, but it'll especially help when we get into some smaller groups and have a chance for discussion, question and answer, and face sharing. Again, welcome to those who are new to Reyna. I get to place a face to a name. I've talked to you on the phone a few times and traded a bunch of emails, so it's good to meet you at least a little bit more in person. Same for Mark. Mark, could you unmute yourself for just a moment to answer a question? Do you know, is Jessica going to be able to join us tonight?
Yes, she's on as JP.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, Jessica.
Hello.
There you are. Okay. Could you change your screen name?
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. All right. So, everybody, take a look again at the name on your screen. For example, Jessica, I'm going to use you as an example. You're JP. Could you change that to Jessica Perez? I know those are your initials for your name. If you're not sure how to do that, just place the cursor over your screen.
Uh-huh.
And you'll notice there's a square with three dots in it. Click on that, and you'll see a drop-down menu. Go ahead and scroll all the way down to about two-thirds down. You'll see the word rename. Click on that, and you can type in your full name that way. Okay, it looks like just about everybody has done that, except for the person jumping in right now.
All right.
Okay. And again, we want to stay muted unless we're in our small groups or we're specifically answering the question. Okay. All right, then let's begin. This is our second session since our two-week break around the holidays. A quick reset. For the first half of our CIA, we spent our time mainly focusing on sacraments, the gifts that we are going to receive. And in fact, all sacraments and how they tie together, how they are all powerful and intimate experiences of God's grace. Also framing that are the importance of scripture itself and interweaving that throughout our experience together, the importance of prayer, our sharing our life with God, allowing God to share God's life with us, and all types of other different things, experiences of prayer and things that are particular, like our tradition of our saints and the importance of our Blessed Mother in our faith, and a number of other things has been sprinkled around that. But basically, it's been about sacraments, because it's through sacraments that Catholics experience in a very powerful way their faith. And when we speak about faith, we're not speaking primarily about all the things that we believe. It's not like taking a correspondence course and then passing a test. What we believe is important. Knowledge is important. We're sentient beings, so God communicates to us through our intelligence, for sure. But when we talk about faith, we're talking about primarily relationship. Faith is our relationship with God. It's believing that God created us out of love, that God loves us, and that our purpose is to love because we're created in God's image and likeness. It's the belief that our God is always there for us, that our God loves us so much that even in our self-centeredness and our sin, God doesn't allow that to separate us from God's love. In fact, God sent at a point in time, and we just celebrated that, his own son to come as one of us, to be a bridge, to be both God and man so that we could have an intimate relationship with God because we know how to have relationships with human beings. But since he's God, he also through his self-sacrifice defeated our own sins and our own selfishness and the result, which is death. And again, makes it so that if we take God up on God's offer of love and we do our best our whole life to grow in what we were created to be, then we will, at the end of our time in this experience, live in the fullness of God's love. Sacraments are the key to connecting us deeper and deeper to God's love. Coming into the new year, the question or the connection that we want to make is, okay, so then if we receive these gifts of God's grace, which have the power to transform us and work in us and through us to be able to be instruments of God's love to others to help transform this whole world, then what does that mean about how we must live our life? That's where we began when we began last week. And we talked about Christian faith and morality. And so we did a lot of work. And I hope everybody who's new got a chance to go online and at least listen to the audio recording of that and be exposed to the content, because we spent a lot of time getting connected to information. We didn't get a lot of interaction because we wanted to have a clear baseline understanding of what we mean by Christian morality. And now we're going to get a chance this week and next week to have a lot of interaction and apply this and work through this and maybe even struggle through this a little bit to understand not just what the church teaches, but why and how that's important and how that needs to affect the way we live our lives. Okay. All right. That was a quick reset. Let's go to some PowerPoint slides just to finish the preparation for us to be able to engage in the type of interchange and discussion and faith sharing that we're going to experience tonight. All right, so tonight we're going to look at two important moral issues. And no one would claim that the church has cornered the market on these two issues as being important. These two issues are important to human life and human experience. And they have to do with sexuality. And as Catholic Christians, we believe that our sexuality is a gift from God. Our whole being is. And our sexuality is part of that complex being. So again, let's take a look at a few slides we saw last week. This might help, again, people who are jumping in. What would society be like without morals? Well, I used this really humorous image from the cartoon series The Simpsons. And I had no idea the next day we were going to look at the type of images that we saw in our nation's capital. What happens when the rules of law and the respect for others breaks down? We see the kinds of images that were not just something that's disturbing but funny like this on a cartoon, but something that we've been seeing visually on our TV screens and on our media delivery, iPads, our computers, our phones, and it has been disturbing. But it's a reminder of what we were talking about last week. So we talked about morality, and we said think outside the box, and how do we define it? And really, there were lots of good definitions people offered in the chat, but really what we're talking about is what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. But it's not this arbitrary whatever I think is good or bad or right or wrong or you think, but it's what God thinks. So what is good in God's eyes? And the opposite of that would be evil. What is right and just in God's eyes? The opposite of that would be injustice and immorality. But we have to make this admission right off the bat tonight. Morality often doesn't seem to be black and white. Rather, when we dig into issues, it often seems more like shades of gray. And that's what we're going to discover when we take a look at two issues this week and two issues next week. So, what is it that's going to help us stay on track, stay on course, not lose our bearings as far as what the church teaches? Well, here we're going to call it the prime directive, the number one most important direction for our life. If you're a Star Trekkie, you understand the prime directive from that series. And that meant that these were people going into the galaxies and meeting new civilizations. And the prime directive was never to do anything that would disrupt their natural evolution, to not take some kind of technology that was beyond them and insert it into their culture that they had the right to develop. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is this. And we talked about this last week. And this comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Again, if you're new, often referred to as the CCC. That's the official compilation of faith and morals for the Catholic Church. And whenever you see a number designation following CCC, that's the paragraph number in this compendium, this book, if you will. And so when we take a look at what's most important to Christian morality, we see this statement at the beginning of that section. Christian, recognize your dignity. And again, because we believe that scripture is the word of God and the primary source for everything we believe, we see this throughout all of scripture, but it happens at the very beginning of the very first book of the Bible. So what we're going to call the prime directive is most important. And because it's most important, it begins and it ends in the first and the last book of the Bible. It's emphasized and everywhere in between. And it's this: God created everything. And we believe that God is good. So God can only, what God creates can only be good. So we believe that. He created each person in his image, meaning that God created all of creation good, but in human beings, he created us in his very image, which means we're created with the express purpose of being loved and loving, that God considers us his masterpiece of creation. And therefore, when he spoke about creation, he talked about the first 5 days, everything he created. At the end of each day, he said it was good. But at the end of the sixth day, before God rested on the seventh, he looked at human beings and he said it was very good. This is where the prime directive comes from. If God creates everything and everything is good, but human beings are the height of what is good, then that's where our value comes from and the dignity that comes from that. So it means this: it doesn't matter what we do. We can't make God love us any more, and we can't make God love us any less. We don't need to worry about being the good little boys all the time and being worried about making mistakes, because God's going to love us no matter what. It also means that when we make the worst mistake of our life, we don't have to walk away in shame and say we're unforgivable and unlovable. God loves us no matter what because of who we are, his own sons and daughters, that he loves beyond measure. It doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want and be spoiled children, for sure. It means rather that we need to live up to who we are. And so if God created us to be loved and to love, then we're only true to ourselves when every action is a loving action. When we treat God's creation with the same respect God does, and we treat other human beings with the ultimate respect and dignity that God gave them, that's the prime directive. The prime directive we're going to sum up is this: the most important thing of all is life. And the most important thing about life is human life. So every choice we make, everything that we choose so that it's good and loving, is centered on that. And if we have to make a decision and there's a shades of gray, we got to peel back all the layers and look at the ultimate question. Is this respectful of human life? Does this guard and protect human life? Is this respectful of human dignity? Okay. All right. With that, it's time to make some real life connections. And if you were with us last time, you know exactly what we're going to talk about. How do we balance living the truth that we just stated, the prime directive, to guard and protect and respect life in every decision? How can we do that and live up to hard decisions about how God sees the truth and still be loving and merciful in each decision? All right. Here's our first issue for conversation today. The issue is contraception. What we're going to do with each issue is we're going to define it clearly. We're going to discuss briefly what the Catholic Church teaches, what we believe as Catholic Christians. then we're going to go into smaller groups. And tonight, those groups are going to be three groups. Normally, we'll go into five and sometimes six and have a smaller intimate setting. For a variety of reasons, we're going to make our groups three. And in those groups, we're going to begin to discuss, okay, now that we know what the church teaches, can we figure out, using the prime directive, why the church teaches that? Because it's going to be no surprise to many of you here that the church's teaching on contraception hasn't always been consistent with the societies in which people live, particularly Western societies. So the US, Europe, Australia, Canada. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what it is that we have believed in the past, how we struggle with what the church teaches. And in that conversation and discussion and question and answer, we're going in these small groups to be able to hopefully help make a connection to the why the church teaches what it teaches. We'll come back as a whole group and we'll have a chance to make sure that we've made those connections very well. We'll take a break between the first issue and the second, and then we'll come back and do the same thing. We'll define the issue. We'll make sure we understand what the church teaches. We'll go into our groups to discuss what we have heard, what we have thought, what we have felt, but drill down to, okay, why does the church teach what it teaches? And then we'll come back again as a whole group and make and cement those connections, okay? All right, the first issue, contraception, can be defined very simply. Contraception is the act of preventing the conception of a child during the procreative act, during sexual intercourse. Simple as that, contraception. It is at least as old as the oldest book in the Bible, because contraception is spoken about even in the Bible. The point here is that there are really two types of contraception. One would be to use the natural means as far as understanding the human body, knowing when a woman is pregnant and avoiding sexual intercourse during that time. The other would be to use any kind of artificial means, whether it's some sort of a barrier, some sort of a device, or some sort of pharmaceutical or a drug, which would prevent conception or trick the woman's body into thinking that she was already pregnant so there wouldn't be conception. Those are the primary ways. Again, natural means and means that are not natural. So man-made device, okay? What does the church teach? The church teaches this and teaches it very clearly that in almost every case, the preferred and best moral option would be natural contraception. Now's not going to be where we're going to get into all the reasons why the terminology would be preferred and best moral choice. We're going to let you guys dig into this. We'll do that at the very end. And it would say that in many cases, the choice of non-natural contraception would not be the best moral choice. Now, notice I'm walking a fine line. I'm not saying that only natural method is always right and the artificial method is always wrong, because there are a lot of nuances. We're talking about gray areas here too. But clearly understand what the church teaches, that the preferred and the healthiest, best moral choice, and by the way, healthiest oftentimes physical and mental, is natural methods. Of course, that also means we have to understand how to do that correctly, and that takes some doing. And we'll leave it at that, at least going into our groups. Okay. We spent about 20 minutes laying the ground rules here, or not ground rules, but laying the foundation. I think we're going to spend somewhere between 25 and 30 minutes in groups, group leaders, members of the team. You're going to help me monitor time as well. We've got three groups and we have members of the team that will be in each group, which will help answer questions that people have and guide the discussion. But the rule of thumb here is this: be honest and forthright with your questions. Don't walk away from this opportunity of not drilling down deeply about what the church that you are a part of, and you are going to be more a part of when you're fully initiated with sacraments, what it teaches and why, okay? And again, I'm going to actually go floating in and out of the three groups. And in some cases, if a group gets stuck with something, the team might actually text me and I might jump out of one group to another group to help address a specific question. But after about 25 or 30 minutes, we'll come back to the whole group, settle things, and we'll take a little break. Everybody ready? And get a thumbs up? All right, less of me talking and more face sharing and discussion certainly will be more interesting at this point. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tell everybody, give me about a two minutes here, and you can do a little quick stretch break if you like, or refresh your beverage, whatever it is. But I want to very carefully set up the rooms. That's going to take me about 2 minutes. So don't turn off your video. And if you go away from the camera, listen, because it's not going to be very long. We're going to be back in groups, and you don't want to miss the beginning of your group. Okay, everybody, if you can hear my voice, I think our groups are fairly balanced at this point. This is completely random. I apologize if I don't have sponsors with the one that is sponsoring this round. If you really want to be with your connected for the second round, let me know after this. But it's completely random, except for those who are leading and guiding the groups. All right, if you can hear my voice, just one more direction, since we have a couple of new people. If you've never been in a breakout group before, in a moment, I'm going to open all the rooms. And on your screen, it's going to say you're being invited to either room 1, room 2, or room 3. Go ahead and click and accept that invitation. There will be a delay. Don't worry about that. You're not being disconnected. Hang in there. And what you'll notice is popping up on your screen will be, instead of 37 different people, there'll be 12 or 13 different screens. So your group will be smaller and it'll make it much easier to function for this part of our evening. When it is time to come back, everyone will get a 2-minute warning and it'll count down by 120 seconds. So you'll just notice that we'll kind of watch that, whoever's speaking, so you don't get cut off mid-sentence. And then we'll all jump back together for our whole group for us to round out this issue before we take our break. All right. Team, you know you have your cell phones ready if you need to text me. My cell phone's on, ready to go. All right, everyone, I'm opening up your rooms. Go ahead and accept your invitations. Does it help if you turn off your video, Tom? That will result in needing less bandwidth. Elvia, comma, I'm so sorry for your loss, period. We will lift Julie up in prayer at the end of the evening, period. Please let me know if there's anything more I can do for you or your family, period. Quote, eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, comma, let perpetual light shine upon her, period. May she rest in peace, period. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace, period. Amen, period, end quote. Thank you. Ken, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, Kenny.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't see a video. Can you activate your video?
Yeah, let me toggle it.
There you go. Okay. All right. You joined us a little late?
Yes, apologies for that. I'm still in the East Coast time.
Okay. I'm going to quickly get you into a group. So what we're doing today is we're looking at difficult moral issues. So the one that we're looking at right now is the issue of contraception, natural and artificial, what the church teaches. So we set the foundation for that, and people have been in their groups for about almost 10 minutes. They've got about another 20 minutes. So I'm going to send you to group three. Go ahead and accept that, and then I'm going to jump into group three with you, okay?
All right.
There you go. And we're back. All right. How comfortable was your conversation?
It was great.
I don't know about all the other groups, but I didn't make every group. But the two groups that I went to, sometimes there was a lot of conversation and sometimes there was quiet. And asking one of the groups, they said, well, this is a sticky issue. Yes, it is. That's why we're talking about it, for sure. All right. So let's do this before we go to our break. Could a representative from each group maybe bring up one issue that was talked about in the group that maybe got a lot of interest or intention? And if a group before you takes yours, then take your second one. Okay. I'm going to call you out by group number. So I'm going to ask Tricia, Mike, and Rochelle, any of you, what was an issue that got a lot of attention in conversation?
I'm going to throw Rochelle under the bus.
She'll appreciate that.
Rochelle.
I live under the bus. What do you want? you know, we talked about trying to meet the expectation of the understanding, trying to get comfortable knowing that this has so many shades of gray. That we've got to work towards it, and it's going to take a hot minute to get there in some cases.
Okay. So by that, we kind of dipped our toe into the boiling water, and it takes maybe not boiling water, but the hot or the icy cold water, and it takes a lot more time to acclimate.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. All right. How about group two? What would you offer? What was maybe something of the greatest focus? Kenny, Chris, Derek, or Kim?
This is the first group that I've ever had that didn't have a whole bunch of what if questions. So I don't know if we expressed ourselves clearly, but there was only a few people that had anything to say. So
okay.
Hopefully if they have questions, they ask.
Okay, how about group three?
I'll chime in. There was some discussion about the consistency of the church's teachings across different parts of the country and the world, and how that kind of weighs into the reassurance that people have about some of the decisions that they're making.
Okay. And sort of break that open a little bit more, depending on where you live in the world, or even in the same region, going to a different source, maybe a priest or a deacon or somebody else who teaches, you could get the ends of the perspective, anywhere from black and white, all artificial contraception is wrong always, to something on the other extreme, which would be, well, there's lots of exceptions, or it's up just up to you making a good moral choice. And so the concern there is, what's really the consistent teaching of the church? And, you know, the concern that that would create some confusion too. Well, let me speak to the hesitancy in groups. My feeling in the two groups that I was a part of is we're used to having a little bit smaller groups. And we'll find out after we do this with another issue, if it was just this issue, or if it's maybe a little bit more reticent to talk if the group is 12 rather than the group is 6. And so we'll make an adjustment for next week if that's what we need to do. Let's tie this up with some important information, and it'll shorten our conversation for the next issue too. Here's what the church teaches about making a moral decision. And first of all, before I even say that, let me say that the church teaches truth based on scripture, based on revelation. As Roman Catholics, we have a tradition that the Pope can speak infallibly on faith and morals. The popes have only spoken ex cathedra, which means no exceptions, infallibly, on two matters of faith and not on matters of morals. Matters of faith both had to do with what we believe about our Blessed Mother. That doesn't mean that what the bishops and the popes teach about morals is just a free-for-all. What it means is this. There is absolute truth, and the church is putting that forward for us. But there is such a thing as this. In the end, each one of us are judged by God and no one else. The church doesn't judge. You may go to confession and a priest will agree and say what you did was wrong, but they're not God. They're not going to judge your heart specifically. They will offer you absolution as God has offered you forgiveness, because that's what God has set the sacrament up to be. But as far as judging, that's between you and God. Because what? Only God knows our hearts, and God knows our hearts better than we do. Let's admit, we can all rationalize pretty good sometimes, right? Pretty well. And so God gets through all that rationalization and knows exactly what our intention is, in all honesty. So the only one who judges us is God. So we are accountable to God. And in the end, the church teaches this. You make your decision, but you need to have an informed conscience. That's what the church's job is, to help you understand best possible. The church also teaches this, that different factors and different conditions have an effect on whether something could be right or wrong or even sinful, okay? Because we haven't even talked about sin yet in regards to this issue. We're just talking about what's right or wrong. Let's take another issue just because it's simple. If I get upset at somebody and I just pull out a gun and blow them away, that's murder. Particularly if I haven't liked them for a long time and I plot it, right? That's murder. But if I kill someone with that same gun defending innocent lives, that's not considered moral. In both cases, I'm taking a life, which is very serious. You're terminating a life, and that's the prime directive, right? But in one case, I'm saying, I'm just choosing to eliminate this person. I don't think they deserve to live, as opposed to these lives that I'm protecting deserve to be protected. You see what I mean? Now, I know that's a very more black and white case than what we're talking about here. But there are conditions and there are issues that change, that have an effect. Let's use one with this issue, and we used it in group 3. The church does teach, for sure, let me say this again, that absolutely, in most cases, and again, that has to do with conditions, that natural birth control is always preferred and considered morally good. It also teaches this, that parents have the responsibility not just to plan how many children they have, but to take care of well as far as physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual needs of children to the best of their ability. So think about that for a minute. How many children I have would have everything to do with my ability to provide for their needs and to raise them so that they could become everything God created them to be. So if I never cared to, I and my wife never cared to plan for our family and just let the chips fall where they will. God's responsible for how many children I have, and I keep having more children than I can take care of. That certainly isn't right. But on the flip side, if I use that as a reason, if I'm a wealthy person, I use the reason we're only going to have one or two children because that's the only way we can provide the life they deserve. And that life is going on elaborate vacations twice a year and buying the newest car every year and being very materialistic. You get where I'm going with that. We can rationalize and say, oh, no, I have to provide for these kids. Well, you get the point for that. Okay. So with that in mind, let's take a break here. Let's take a 5-minute break. Go ahead and take care of your needs. Get something to drink, stretch, whatever. Feel free. You can turn off your video if you like. But in 5 minutes, listen for my voice because we're going to begin right away. All right, that's our 5-minute break. As you hear my voice, if you could signal you are back and ready to participate by activating your video screen, please. Again, hopefully you are in earshot of my voice. We are going to begin in 30 seconds. Go ahead and activate your screen. I see about two-thirds of us back. If we can recapture that other third quickly. Okay. Welcome back from a brief break. We want to stay on time here today, so we've only got about a half hour left. But let's bridge between these two issues by saying this. Let me remind you of one of the things that was in one of the video clips from last week. God created us to be loved, to be fulfilled, which means to be joyful and happy. So when we look at things like morals, we shouldn't be looking them at as rules that are going to kill our joy. But rather, for someone who loves us deeply and knowing what will make us the happiest, has given us these rules to help guide us to that fullness and that happiness. It goes back to the gospel that Deacon Phil read today for our opening prayer when Jesus says the kingdom of God is here. The time of fulfillment happened when Jesus came on this earth. And Jesus repeated the same term that John did, repent and then he added, believe in the good news. Repent, remember, means to turn to be face to face with God. Go back to when we talked about the sacrament of reconciliation, that we're in perfect relationship with God when we're face to face and so close, it's almost as if eyelashes touch. That's what God wants, that kind of intimacy with us. And believe in the good news. What's the good news? That God loves us. And so when we talk about morality and we talk about what we believe in and why and the rules that we follow so that we can make sure that we keep that prime directive of love, it's just that. It's based on the fact that we believe that we are loved, that we deserve to be loved, and that God wants us to get better and better at loving. When we do that, not only is it easier to make good moral choices, they make sense. And that's what we're talking about today. So here's our second issue. We're going to be take less time in our groups, I think. Let's set the term itself. So what we're talking about here is what the church teaches in regards to infertility. Okay, so infertility defined simply means that a person is unable to help in the conception of life. Okay, so when we talk about couples who want children, normally it's one, not both, but one of them is infertile, unable to be able to contribute to that process of conceiving a child. So where's the issue? Well, the issue is that couples who are infertile oftentimes want to have children. So they're looking for a way in order to conceive a child. Here's where we can bump up against the prime directive. Okay, let me give you two examples. For children that are couples who are absolutely unable to have children, one way is to adopt a child conceived by another couple. The other would be to artificially conceive a child that is their own DNA. So often referred to, although this is getting to be an old term, a test tube baby, where insemination of a sperm with an egg to begin a zygote, the basic beginning of human life, is done outside of the natural act of procreation, whether it's in a test tube, a petri dish, whatever, whether it's then implanted into the mother or into a surrogate mother. So we have all kinds of different things. There's drugs to try to help people conceive naturally, and then there are techniques to conceive outside of the natural way that God designed. So that's what we have to discuss. You're going to go into your groups and discuss all those issues, all the issues that are important to you. This is something that touches pretty much everybody knows someone who's had to go through with the challenge of infertility. Here's a chance to ask if you don't know what the church teaches. Well, what does the church teach about this or about that? Or you might already know what the church teaches and you say, I don't agree with that. Well, let's dig into the why the church teaches that. Again, it all comes down to we never violate the prime directive. We always protect life. Okay? With that in mind, let's go back to our groups. We're going to have 20 minutes and we'll bring it back for our whole group conversation. If it's less time than that, for some reason, not just you can text me group leaders to bring me into the conversation, but if you think it's stalled before you see the 2-minute warning, give me a heads up. All right. I'm going to go ahead and open those breakout rooms. Jessica, can you hear me? Andrea, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, which Andrea? I've got two Andreas. Andrea?
Well, I could hear you. I don't know what other Andrea.
Okay, you're in and out. Andrea, your last name, I have two Andreas. Andrea, if you can hear me, change your name or text me or chat, send me a chat so that I know which Andrea it is. So I can put you in the correct group. Andrea, I don't know if you're having connectivity issues and you can hear me or not. I could hear you intermittently.
I'm having trouble right now.
Okay, last name.
Rodriguez or Gonzalez.
Gotcha, Rodriguez, okay. Would you like me to try to send you into a group and see how it works with your connectivity issue?
Yes, please.
Okay. Andrea, were you with us from the very beginning? I couldn't tell.
No.
Okay.
From today?
Yeah.
From today, yes.
Okay. All right. Were you in and out a little bit? Did I have to zoom you back in?
Once right now, yes.
Okay. And by the way, I've been keeping your father in prayer and we're going to pray for him by name at the end tonight. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Does it help to keep your video off or are you just calling in?
Well, I'm in the truck, so I'm hiding in my car. So it will be the same thing if the lights are on.
Okay. So you've got your video turned off. Well, that should help with your connectivity too. Okay. Do you remember what group you were in, Andrea? Was it 1, 2, or 3?
1.
Okay. Here you go. I'm sending you there.
Thank you.
Hey, You're on mute.
We can't hear you because you're on mute.
Katrina and Antoine.
Yes, sir.
Did you get bumped out of your group or did you leave naturally?
We left.
Okay, there you go. I just want to make sure that sometimes what happens is people lose connectivity, and if I'm not paying attention and let them back in, they end up staying in the whole group too long. So I'm glad that wasn't the case. All right. So what group are you from, all of you? Which group? Two? Okay.
We're from three.
Three? Okay. Some of you just jumped out early. I get it. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I don't know if it was the difference in subject matter or it just took a little time to get warmed up, but it seemed like the conversations on this issue were much more fluid, huh? Real quick, we'll go from three to one. And we don't have a lot of time, but just name the number one issue that took the most of your attention in your group. Group three, Phil and Mary, Eric, what was the number one issue?
Well, we had two. We had the issue of surrogate mom that we would like to talk about, and we didn't get to it, but the use of fertility drugs we'd like to talk about.
And group two, what were your issues?
I don't think we really had any, except Eric.
You keep throwing each other under the bus. What was the question that you had me jump in for? Go ahead and state that one.
That was Derek's question.
Derek,
any time now.
It went back to contraception, and the question was basically if the outcome is the same, stopping the formation of life, how do you dictate what is truly right, whether it be the natural method or an artificial method, if ultimately the outcome is the same, it's just stop the formation of life.
And so did you talk about the issues for fertility, or you just went back to that issue mainly?
We did for a bit. We talked about like in vitro fertilization.
And then you circled back. Okay. And group one, what was the main issue or issues?
We talked about the blessing of adoption.
Yeah, that was a big thing, the blessing of adoption, and also the prudent use of fertility drugs to bring people through.
And what options the church makes available to couples.
Okay. So looking at those issues for fertility, let's tie this up just to make sure that we're clear on what the church teaches and why. So first of all, the church teaches that it is our belief, and it's based on scripture, and it's based on the traditional teaching authority of the church. We believe that life begins at conception. Now, the church taught this before biology, but biology backs it up. I mean, at least from the perspective of no scientist would argue that once an egg and a sperm unite, that you don't have a unique life because you've got DNA from the father, DNA from the mother, and this is a brand new life. Okay, but what we believe is that life is both the body and the soul uniting. We believe that everything that God intends for that life, all the potency, all the potential is there at that moment. It just hasn't fully developed. And by the way, again, science would say DNA-wise, the same thing, that everything, all the potential of that life is inherent DNA-wise. It just is undeveloped. But for us, we say that it's sacred because it is a human life with the dignity that God created. So with that in mind, are fertility drugs okay? Well, for the most part, yes. Because what is a couple trying to do but be faithful to the purpose of marriage? It's both unitive for the two of them to grow closer in Christ, to walk together in holiness, and to be procreative in their love, that their love is going to produce more love. And in most cases, it produces children, life, and the responsibility to raise them in the faith, to know God, to love God with their whole being, and to love others. So if there is the potency for, or the ability for human beings to use some kinds of drugs to assist a couple who's struggling with infertility, that's a good thing. Are there issues related to that? Without getting into a whole bunch of things, the main issue is cost. It's expensive. And if it's not covered by insurance, then there is the issue of how is that paid for? And again, do you have other children? Do you have other responsibilities? There are those ancillary issues, but morally, there's no issue. Test tube babies, conceiving outside of the womb, is that morally right? Well, again, it falls under the category of a right intention, what the couple wants to do. The problem here is in the process. In this process of harvesting eggs from the woman and then inseminating them outside of the body, they do a number of eggs because not every egg implants. And that's not the issue of morality. The issue is that these eggs are normally frozen until they're used. And then once a woman is able to conceive, the problem is what happens to those other ovums that are frozen. If we believe that life begins at conception, then if those are not brought to, or the intention of being brought to life, then what we consider that is the destruction of human life. That's the problem. That's the reason why the church would say that's an issue of morality or immorality. Surrogacy, well, in and of itself, that's an act of love. One person trying to help a couple to be able to conceive their own children. Again, some of the issues involved with that are the costs involved. But another emerging issue, if you take a look at a pattern of the majority of the women who are surrogates tend to be women who are just above or below the poverty line. So the concern is whether or not those people who are the surrogates are being treated with human dignity, or they're being used and maybe manipulated. That's a concern. And of course, adoption is an act of love. And it was wonderful to hear the one group that spoke a lot about that, and the person that chose to share her own personal situation. I want to thank that person for trusting the group and sharing that, because it was very powerful. Here's a point that needs to be made. All children that are conceived, no matter how parents chose to conceive them, those children are children of God, and they have all human dignity, and no one should ever treat them any differently or look at them any differently because of how they were conceived. That has nothing to do with the child themselves or the value of their life. That came up in a group too, and I was happy to hear that. Okay. So that's just a summary of the issues that you were talking about and brought up. It is my role, my duty to make sure that we understand what the church teaches and why. I will say that being in some groups and even watching this conversation here, I can read faces, and I can read for some people that you still may be struggling with one or two of the things that were spoken about. That's okay. That's part of life. We struggle through things. And if our struggle is trying to get at the heart of what's right or wrong, that's what God wants. God wants us to work through the difficult issues and to really want to get to the heart of what's right and good. Let me remind you of what I said right after the break. God judges us on our conscience. And if we do our very best to have an informed conscience and to look at all the context and all the issues and to make the best possible decision, then that's good. Even if later on in life, we may reflect and go, gosh, if I were to make that decision now, I wouldn't have made the same decision because of what I know. Hey, at the moment that you made it in good conscience, the best decision you could make. Life is messy. Life isn't easy. And again, none of us is God. And so none of us has the right to judge the heart of another. We do believe in objective truth, though. And that was brought up last week, too. So we can look at an action and say, no, we don't agree that's right. We don't agree, or we agree that it's right, or we don't agree that it's right. But we don't judge people, condemn them. That's not a Christian thing to do. All right. Does anybody have a burning question before we bring this to a close tonight? If you do, go ahead and unmute yourself. Don't want to be accused of glazing over anything. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. This was a little bit different, a lot different than the previous night. If anything, what we don't want is people to feel frustrated that we didn't dig into issues enough. So if you have follow-up questions, if you felt like something didn't get answered or answered thoroughly, or you just think about it some more in the days to come and you go, wait a minute, I got some other questions, feel free to contact any of us on the team, and we'll help you in your struggle to coming to the truth, okay? Because we're all just trying to do the same. All right, let's close as we always close, and the way that we always begin with prayer. And as we pray, this is a simple prayer for the sick. I'd like us all to keep in prayer Andrea's father. We prayed for him last week. His name is Manuel, and he's still struggling. I ask you also, Elvia Mendoza wasn't here today because they had a death in their family due to COVID, and the family is mourning, and you know the difficulty of not being able to be there with your loved one when they're passing. And so her name is Julia Lira. So we're going to lift up in prayer Manuel and ask God to surround him with his healing power, and lift up Julia for the repose of her soul and for the healing of the family who is going to miss her physical presence, but is also struggling with not being able to be there at the moment of her parting. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all, we ask you to bless our friends who are sick. We ask you to bless all those who are sick with the coronavirus, especially those who are struggling with life. We ask you to heal them and to give strength to all those who care for them, our caregivers, our health professionals, family members. Give them strength in body, courage in spirit, and patience with pain. Let them recover their health, so that restored to the Christian community, they may joyfully praise your name, for you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. And may you go with God's blessing this week as always. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Have a wonderful week. If you were new, if you could hang around for a minute, Mark, I'd love to talk to you real quickly, and Raina and Jessica.
Deacon Don, did you need the team for anything, or are we set?
If you want to hang around, that's fine. If you want to give me some feedback after I talk to the three that are new, that'd be great. But if you need to go, that's okay.
No, I'm good.
Raina and Jessica and Mark, again, welcome. You survived your first RCIA gathering. and it was different than a lot of our gatherings. I got to tell you, you jumped in at a unique time. So we hope you feel welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very insightful for me, you know, knowing that I've never even joined a Zoom call. It was nice seeing how
this was your first Zoom call. That's right. Okay. Did it work smoothly?
Yes. Yeah. So everything worked out.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I didn't have much to say today. I guess I didn't have anything to comment, you know, not being married.
Okay.
Much to say about contraception or fertility.
Right. Well, you never know what God has planned for you personally, but you know you're going to have family and friends, and chances are there'll be people that you know, family and friends, who will have these issues. They may come to you for guidance. So it's good to be a part of these conversations.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mark, how about you? Everything work okay Zoom-wise?
And on behalf of Jessica and I, thank you, Rachel and Tricia and Mike in the group setting. They were very nice. Thank you for welcoming us to the group. We look forward to the other ones to come. Sorry we're latecomers, but eagerly looking forward to our time with the group and the studies. We've got a lot of catch-up to do, but we're working on this.
Good. Jessica, go ahead and unmute yourself. My first question for you is, you obviously had safe travels back in your return, huh?
Well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Everything went well. Yes. Thank you.
And what time is it now for you with the time change?
It's almost 11.
Okay. So you're 2 hours ahead of us. So yes. Jessica lives in Colombia, right?
Costa Rica.
Oh, I'm sorry. Costa Rica. Sorry. I knew as soon as I said that, I was wrong.
We both produce coffee.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Jessica and Mark are fiancés, and Mark lives here in Ventura, and Jessica lives in Costa Rica, and she was just out this past week and just flew back. What was it, Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Well, glad you made it back safely, and we're so glad that this whole Zoom situation that came about through COVID makes it possible for you to go through RCAA and marriage prep together.
Yeah, I know. It was great. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was the first time, so I get a little bit nervous, but yeah.
That's okay. I don't worry about you being nervous. Not if you've practiced law for 25 years. Come on.
Oh, different. Different. Even those topics, I mean, if you ask me about those topics, since the legal point of view is different, you know, but to hear about it just according to my faith, it's just different. It's a different situation, but really interesting. I really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we don't mean to keep you any later. I know especially if you're, it's 11 o'clock. So thanks for hanging around a little bit longer with us. And we just like to make sure first impressions are good impressions.
Yeah. Well, perfect.
All right. Okay, Jessica, Mark, and Raina, have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Pleasure meeting you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Mark and Jessica, we'll see you on Saturday for marriage prep.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
So that was a cool surprise, huh? I didn't tell you that backstory.
Yeah.
So isn't that amazing? You know, one of the effects of this whole thing with COVID and having to figure out how to do this online, you get situations like that. I mean, how could we have ever been able to include them together without this kind of a forum? And they're jumping into RCA and marriage prep right now. They're good to go.
Can you jump into marriage prep at any time and
yep.
then just sort of wrap around?
That's exactly how it's designed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what everybody in RCIA does. We've got people that have jumped in December, and they're jumping in January, and yeah.
Yep. You ready, Kim?
I've met someone, and it's going well.
Is that right? Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
And don't tell me he's in Colombia.
No. Right now he's in the Gulf. So.
He's in Florida?
He's in the Gulf of Mexico. He's on an oil rig.
An oil rig. Oh, okay.
That is so exciting.
When he's not on the rig, where is he?
At his house.
Which is local?
No, it's in Pennsylvania.
So how'd you meet?
It's a long story. Just playing.
Okay, well,
one day
when you're ready to tell it, I'll be interested to hear.
Okay, because so far it's been interesting. So, yeah.
So wait, dating during COVID.
First,
I know. Interesting.
Well, and long distance relationships to me are baffling. I watched my daughter and son-in-law do that for years before they got married. But it doesn't matter whether you're long distance or short distance. It almost seems like there's distance now, right?
Yeah.
How about Teresa and Chuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Well, and back then, wouldn't it have been great if we'd had this option for Chuck?
Yes.
Yes.
He wouldn't have had to jump in January and get all caught up. But, hey, we made it work back then. I mean, we were doing the audio recording, and then the two of them would have phone conversations. And, hey, we just keep evolving, meeting needs.
Which is what it's all about. So.
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
All right, everyone, thanks. Were you comfortable with that?
Once it got started, yeah.
I guess.
What do you think it was for that first subject? Was it the subject itself or the size of the groups? They just need to get warmed up? What?
I'll throw in my two cents. I think it was because we threw out the solution too early. So with the second group, I just threw it straight off the bat, threw them like a scenario question to chew on, you know? They seemed to do better with that, kind of loosening up.
Okay.
Rather than kind of telling them what the solution is, you know, what the church's teachings are in broad strokes. I don't know. It just seemed to work okay. I don't know what your thought is, Phil.
I agree with you, Eric.
But we still had people that just didn't unmute themselves, so they didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
And I think there's a trend overall with the second breakout group always being more talkative than the first.
Yeah.
But I think also the first group, everyone is in that scenario, married or not. they're all addressing it in their personal lives in some form. So it's a much more personal discussion. We might want to consider moving that to the second one and infertility to the first next time around, just because of that.
Yeah. And like you said, Don, I agree with you. They were you get mixed up when you're talking about the spiritual baseline versus quote unquote society,
right?
And people bump into that, you know. And so they have a, how do I want to say, a tug of war inside of them, going, well, this is what I'd like to believe, but I don't want to judge anybody else, kind of sort of maybe. But our group, everybody talked, everybody spoke pretty well in our group the first time.
Well, that's when it's good to remind them of what we talked about last week, the whole idea of moral relativism. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not doing anybody any favors if we believe there is objective truth, and that objective truth is at the heart of what really makes people happy and fulfilled. And if we just go, okay, well, we don't want to offend you, so we won't share with you, or we won't stand up for objective truth, well, you know, we'll basically just, you know, say we'll tolerate. Well, remember when he said toleration isn't everybody saying, oh, you all have a right to have your own truth and there is no objective truth. It's tolerance is when, no, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to respect you still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rochelle, yeah, we don't know how our group went because nobody really had much to say.
Really?
Yeah.
For both subjects?
You didn't have any debates in your group?
Not really.
We had multiple people that never came off mute the entire time, even when we tried to coax them to talk.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Who were they? Yeah. I need to know.
Everybody but Carl and...
Was it... Madeline or Marlin or Marlene or
Marlene?
Yeah, Marlene. She was very talkative. There was a couple in there. I apologize. The name escaped me. I don't think they came off mute the entire time we were in both groups.
Hmm. We had three people like that, but two that didn't. They muted.
Well, I strongly feel that next week we need to do five or six groups. It's a lot harder to hide when there's five or six than if there's 12 or 14. And, I think the subjects we're going to talk about next week, people can have opinions, but there's not that kind of discomfort level that you might have with some of those topics. I mean, when you talk about issues that involve sexuality, you know, people can get a little squeamish. So anyway, let's do that. Let's make sure we have more groups next week, which brings me to that, circle back to that. Who would... Is there anybody who would like to facilitate besides me for next week?
What are the topics next week?
It's the end of life issues and what's the other one?
LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So talk about a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
Last year I missed
that the last 2 years that you've done it, Ken. So I'm not really comfortable being a tailor, just because I've never heard the discussion before. I've missed it every single time.
Okay, my wife is elbowing me here because she asked me in the break and says, what do you want? And I go, well, the most difficult subject I've ever had was the LGBT, and my brother is gay. So I think I'll take that if you will heavily coach me, Don.
Yeah.
And if nobody else wants to fight me for it.
And you know what? My recommendation, Mike, if you're going to facilitate, is to deliver it just that way. That if you ask me which one I would be the least comfortable with trying to lead, it would be this one. But the reality is I have a brother who's gay. I mean, you know how you would help so many people anybody that would hesitate, because who of us doesn't know someone in their family or their circles that are gay, right? And so, yeah. Some people are comfortable and some people are uncomfortable about that, but it's something that touches everybody's life. So that might be just a good, honest way to begin.
And you know what I did? So, cause I did it last year, and that's actually probably my favorite subject to talk about. I'm going to get deployed probably because of the inauguration. I don't even know if I'm going to be around. Okay. So that's why I don't want to speak up for it, but I listened to the previous lectures and it really helped me a lot last year. I listened to the lecture from the year before and it really helped prepare me for when I spoke on it last year.
That's okay. What I was going to ask. Are the clips from last year still available to listen to?
We always have one previous year that's still accessible in an archive, yeah.
Okay.
So when you go to the webpage that has the current audios, I think you have to, it's either at the top or the bottom. It's probably the bottom. And it looks like a folder. You click on that and you get to those. So Mike, that'd be my first thing. Go ahead and listen to last year. And then if you want, I will share with you the audio from the previous year, which would have been the one that Ken listened to. Yeah. So you could listen to what Ken did last time and what I did. And I would suggest that to everybody for the next.
Yeah.
Go ahead and listen to both those subjects. You know what? Let me just make a note. Now, it's an audio file, so I can't send it to you as an email attachment. I have to share it with you as a Google file. And Mike, you were able to access the Google file, right?
Yeah, I can access the Google file. I just have to figure out how to, I get the MP4, you know, picture in front, and then I click on it and it just goes round and round and round. So I think I'm going to have to go to another file and copy it onto another file so I can call it up.
Okay. All right. Well, my suggestion would be everybody go to those two, listen to last year where those two subjects are. And if you're interested in the previous year too, send me an email and I will Google share the file with you.
Okay.
And Kenny, if you're still around, I'll call you on up and you and I can go with Deacon Dunn. And if you're here, you and I can share this.
I will be here, but I'll be reachable. It's very likely that I'll be in Southern California, even if I do get sent out. So that's fine.
Okay.
Well, if you're available, Kenny, why don't you team up with Mike? That's what I heard him saying.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And
that would be fantastic.
You want to facilitate the end of life issue?
I would. Go ahead.
Don, I'll know midway through that day if I'll be there or not.
Okay. Yeah, I know the FBI is saying there's credible evidence that there's a concerted effort to have protests, armed protests at all 50 state capitals. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Trish, did you say you wanted to facilitate?
I would love to do the end of life challenges.
Okay.
And I'll listen to the past ones as well.
Okay. So well, you should. I sent you that file when I sent you the one for today. So everybody should have the PowerPoint. It's simple.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Our homework is to listen to previous audios. Okay.
Got it.
Thanks, everyone. You're a fantastic team. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Thanks for having us all in your flock.
yeah, Rochelle. Rochelle did a great job making that. That's probably why everybody talked in group number one, because she made it very, very safe right from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. And she also has a skilled way of helping people not hide.
Yeah.
I like Michael, who says, "Hey, you, what do you think?"
All right, everybody. God be with you. Bless you the whole week long.
We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.